Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
It is Chad Benson in for Greg Corumbus. Don't worry, he'll be back soon enough. Jim Garrity is here as usual. We started out with the excitement of the good martini in a weird, exciting way. Charles Manson no longer with us, Jim.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Charles Manson shuffling off his mortal coil and meeting his date with destiny doesn't count as good news, I don't know what does. It's one of those things where it's interesting. Look, this is 2017. In a lot of people's minds, Charles Manson is long ago and far away. For those of us who bother to pay attention to, this era, the 70s were probably the closest to this era, and probably people say the 60s and 70s, the closest America ever came to a second civil war. Really disturbingly high rates of domestic terrorism and things like that. And I just remember thinking that if I had been alive when Patty Hearst had been kidnapped, terrible news as is, and then reemerged as a bank robber, and the idea that, America's sweetheart had been brainwashed into becoming a servant for this very evil and dangerous force, people probably would have thought it was the end of the world, that this was, the world, the country was coming apart at the seams. So I just kind of, it's one of those moments that even though it's long ago, it's probably worth remembering. And it's just good to not have Charles Manson with us.
You know, the whole thing about Charles Manson, I think we forget, is just what part his life and the crimes played in culture. And we're still to this day talking about it, because at least once every year, somebody from that era, somebody from those crimes comes up for parole, and it reopens that thing. But there was a certain weirdness about just the entire thing, from the fact that he met one of the Beach Boys, which is Wilson, to, going out there and trying to get his music produced, to eventually going off and just losing the plot, trying to start a race war. And we still talk about that to this day, even people who've never really lived through it, who were born after it. And I was born while it was all going on. I know exactly what took place. And in today's culture, there is still, everybody knows who Charles Manson is.
Yeah, his name has become a metaphor for nutjob serial killer. And it's interesting, I'm one of those folks who finds this, creepy and fascinating at the same time. Back in California in the 60s and 70s, there was kind of a much thinner membrane between these kind of just flat out insane people and some of the highest levels of society. Now, you mentioned the Beach Boys. My favorite example of this is that Jim Jones of the infamous Jonestown and the mass suicides hung out with Jerry Brown and was very much plugged in with the California Democratic Party establishment of the 60s and 70s. Now, I'm sure this is not to say Jerry Brown or any of these people completely endorse mass suicides or everything that Jim Jones did, but just an observation that there was a time where these sorts of figures and behavior were not as universally instantly condemned as they were. And so as much as people think, we're going to hell in a handbasket and everything's getting worse, et cetera, et cetera. No. There have been some nice developments and some moral rehabilitation of the country, because we're no longer, for example, Bernadette Dorn apparently approvingly quoted one of the Manson folks at a meeting of one of their groups back in the late 70s. I think that would get you booed today. I think it's safe to say Charles Manson is not regarded as a role model by anyone. So
I hope not. Charles. I hope not. We move on from there to the bad. And number two has come out against old Stuart Smiley there, which is, of course, Al Franken. And this one had to do with a picture and a little bit of a butt grab.
Yeah, it's worth noting that a lot of people, there were very few Democrats who said, no big deal. There were a few nutjobs on Twitter. But generally, most people said, this is very serious, the allegations of Leanne Tweeden. But deep down, this is probably no reason for him to resign. It was a long time ago. He was an entertainer back then. He issued a statement saying he's very sorry about it. It's time to punt this over to the Senate Ethics Committee, wait for them to finish their investigation. I myself am left wondering what's left to investigate. We have Tweeden's account. We have his statement. I don't know if there's a great forensics running around from that USO tour back in 2006. But now there's something from a case from 2010, a woman telling CNN that Franken grabbed her buttocks while taking a photo at the Minnesota State Fair. Now, this is, you know, while he's in office, this is not one of those, oh, I was back in my wild and crazy days. It's worth noting that, you know, Franken was in his 50s in the Leanne Tweeden event. The woman's name is Lindsay Menz. She reached out to CNN on Thursday after the Tweeden story public. Her husband was there, said he took the picture, said he couldn't see the hand, but he saw her reaction. And once again, Al Franken has issued a statement that is not really basically just saying he doesn't remember. Which is not quite a flat denial. It is basically saying that, quote, I take thousands of photos at the state fair surrounded by hundreds of people, and I certainly don't remember taking this picture, Franken said. I feel badly that Ms. Menz came away from our interaction feeling disrespected. Chad, I don't know about you, that really sounds like, well, I'm sorry if you were offended.
You know? Yeah, it does. Jim, and here's my thing, Jim. Now we're going to get him coming out of the woodwork. And you know my big fear is here? People who have genuine issues with sexual assault and with people who have power over them using sex as a weapon and a tool to get what they want in promising people that they'll get what they want and things of that nature. And that we forget that, you know what? Did he grab her butt? I don't know. But is that sexual assault? And you're taking away from other people. And there was 1,000 people there. Could he not have bumped you? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it's one of those things where I think this starts to take away the message. And I think that's what the hashtag MeToo is doing, is starting to take away the message that's out there, that are people who really suffer from sexual assault and sexual abuse and people who try to take their power and abuse it over them. And people who say, well, he grabbed my butt. Again, another one of those things where, you know, like he said, he takes 1,000 pictures, and I'm sure there's a bunch of people around. Could he have been bumped? It's possible. Could he have done it? It's possible. But is this what we're getting to now? Is where everything is, you know, you stepped on my foot and I knew right then and there that you wanted me. Huh?
I think I don't mind. One of the things that people think, oh, you know, should he resign over this? If it turns out that there is a series of events and he has been treating particular women in making, you know, physical advances, and really point out, you know, Tweeden, for what it's worth, says it's not that he mimed groping her, that he actually had attempted to do so and described putting his tongue in her mouth and things like that. If this is a pattern of behavior, I don't think it's that, you know, that wild to say this man does not belong in the U.S. Senate. Trust me, Minnesota Democrats, you'll be able to find another progressive. It's somewhere up there. I like to believe that you'd think mortality would be the first clue that none of us are really all that indispensable. There's that old saying of the warning the Roman emperor that the graves are full of indispensable men. So I think if we need something in between the you must be completely driven out of public life and a slap on the wrist or the Senate Ethics Committee will say tisk tisk. 2 years from now, I think I don't think it's outrageous to say people who treat others like this are not the kind of people we want representing ourselves.
No matter what side,
we'll see if more start piling up. If so, you start to begin to think, okay, if there's enough smoke being generated, there's probably a fire.
Absolutely. So we move from there, right? So we've had our good, we've had our bad. Now we've got the crazy and Hillary. That's all you have to say right there. All right, they're crazy. Vast right-wing conspiracy. It's here.
Sure. So this is Bill and Hillary Clinton were back in Arkansas. I had some event where they were interviewed by James Carville. While we're on the topic of sexual misconduct, let's remember that James Carville was the one who said regarding Paula Jones, if you pull a $100 bill through a trailer park, you never know what you'll find. But so he's doing an event interviewed by them. And obviously the topic of the 2016 election came up. And Hillary Clinton it's one of those moments where it feels like the news is in reruns, is beginning to sound an awful lot like her old cry, the initial denial of the Lewinsky scandal about a vast right-wing conspiracy. She said, quote, unfortunately, our body politics immune system has been impaired because there has been a concerted effort starting with the creation of the Fox Network. I assume she means Fox News, not the Fox Entertainment Network, that wasn't there when Bill first ran. It was one of the reasons he probably survived. It was there when he ran the second time. It and all of its associated media outlets, who are by no means delivering news. They are delivering partisan advocacy positions irrespective of the truth, the facts, the evidence, Clinton said. Now, has Fox News earned some criticism over the years? I don't think too many people would dispute that. I don't know if you'd say it's any more or less partisan than, say, MSNBC. I don't know if you'd. I don't think the argument that it has no means delivering news. I would put Brett Baer and Britt Hume and a whole bunch of the folks who've worked there on the non-commentary programs up against any other news network in the world. And look, you know, partisan advocacy positions, irrespective of the truth. Look, a lot of conservatives would make that argument. A lot of media entities, that infamous Dan Rather report in 2004 of Rathergate and the, you know, the fake memos. The idea that the whole reason that she ran into trouble is because of this, you know, vast, you know, right wing media enterprise, I think just doesn't hold water. And I think it's the what makes it crazy. Democrats must be so thrilled to be having this conversation at a time when, you know, they really could be scoring points with the administration having, you know, still struggling to get the votes on a tax cut and things like that.
Well, it's you know what it is? It's just easy to blame somebody else. To this day, I thought, well, she's going to bring out that book and she's going to really finally open up and we're going to see the human being that we didn't see on the campaign. And all we have seen and heard from her is the blame game of why it was everybody else's fault. Once again, not taking any responsibility for her actions and any of this stuff when it comes to whether it be the uranium one or whether it be Benghazi or whether it be, you know, not winning the presidential race. It's always somebody else's fault. And, you know, every once in a while, you got to say, hey, what's the common denominator here? Oh, it's me.
Yeah. Again, this is, you know, I'm sure that with the Democratic Party, there was this pretty funny Saturday Night Live sketch a couple of weeks ago where they celebrated the big win in Virginia and New Jersey, two states that Hillary Clinton had actually already, you know, won, and that they, you know, did very well in the 2017 elections. And, you know, hey, we're back, baby. And they go down the list and they have Kate McKinnon, you know, doing her impersonation of Hillary Clinton saying, hey, maybe it's time for just one more try by me, or maybe two more. And I'm sure a lot of Democrats say, okay, we've just gone through this terrible experience in 2016. We got wiped out, not just in the presidency, but in the Senate races, the House races, state legislative races. The entire Obama era was this gradual hollowing out of the party below the presidency. You would think, you know, you would think that there would be a great party-wide emphasis on moving forward. And here's Hillary Clinton here to let us know again that it wasn't her fault that she lost. So, when it rains, it pours, Democrats.
Absolutely. Well, this is it. Solid fun, as usual. This has been the 3 Martini Lunch. I'm Chad Benson in for Greg Corumbus, who will be back, I'm sure, at some point in time. And, of course, Jim Garrity always here as well on your 3 Martini Lunch. And you can check me out, ChadBensonShow.com, and in the Radio America Networks. Appreciate it again, Jim, for letting me hang out with you guys again today.
Already looking forward to tomorrow, Chad.
I'm looking forward to it as well. This has been the 3 Martini Lunch.